you're like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch is probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Grey Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Witch Police Radio. Witch Police Radio. Oh, no.
Welcome to Witch Police Radio. I'm here with a member of a band that I first heard about. I guess it was probably a year or so ago. And I think I reached out then, but you guys weren't sort of ready to talk about the band at that point because it was too fresh. So I think the best way to start this off is if you want to introduce yourself and give a bit of background about the group, and we can sort of go from there.
Oh, yes. Well, I'm Neil Wood from here in Winnipeg, and I have a band, Dub City Foundation, and we're a reggae band. And we started up around 2020, or yeah, around 2020. I got the idea to start this up, a little nudge from a friend or two, people over at the Liberal camp. You interviewed him once upon a time there. So I started with him. They kind of needed a band, so we just kind of formed something up, and we went and played the Soca Reggae Fest in 2022. Or no, it was 2020. So yeah, we did that and some other gigs. So we just started doing that, just playing covers and getting ready. And
then the pandemic happened, right? And that must have obviously affected your ability to do anything, just like everyone else.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I've been just doing lots of classic rock stuff with my other band, Woody and the Wild Ones.
Okay.
Doing a lot of that kind of thing. And then I've always been into reggae and stuff back in the days, go to Blackorama and all that
for sure. Yeah, great festival.
Yeah, so did that for a while, and we'll just keep on doing that.
Cool. Well, maybe so Dub City is how big is the band, how many people are in it, and what sort of background do a lot of those players have? Because, you know, I mean, especially with reggae, Winnipeg has this long history, but it's sort of almost a secret history where, you know, there's all these bands that play at very specific venues and at very specific times, and I feel like if you're not sort of actively looking for it, you might miss some of it. So and it's been like that for years. I feel like there's a strong audience, but the audience is very sort of, they're in the know more so than the general public, right?
Yeah, and that's part of what I'm trying to do, is change that up and get my friends from the classic rock and other genres to check out reggae, because it's new and it's proving. It's always new songs, great new music coming out of California and stuff in Brazil, and just all kind of lots of new music reggae is always putting out. So I got into that hell of a lot and really loved doing that.
Well, as far as the other band members, I mean, is there a history of playing in the local reggae scene, or are these all guys just sort of wanting to try it out?
Definitely. Our drummer, Gary Sandlin, he's been in quite a few reggae bands around with the Rebel Force and
Peacemakers, too. Yeah, he was on my show with talking about the Peacemakers years ago. Yeah,
he was. Yeah, so he said say hi anyway. and our bass player, Christopher, has been in a few of those bands also.
Cool.
So yeah, those guys have been in reggae bands. The keyboardist, he's been in a few bands also. I can't remember exactly what bands he's been in, but I tried to find everybody in the band have some sort of reggae connection, because, you know, it's the passion that makes the music really sound great, you know.
For sure.
So that's what we're doing. We are a 7-piece band. We have a backup singer, Nadia Thompson. She does our backup singing, hopefully, with that. And
cool.
Have a percussionist, Andy. He does a lot of cool percussion. So we got a mixture of ethnicities in the band. So it's really cool. And we're gaining momentum. We're writing new songs, and it's all coming up doing well for
cool.
us.
Yeah. Well, it's good to hear for sure. This is the question everyone hates answering, but how do you define sort of more specifically the sound that you do? Obviously, it's a reggae band. Reggae as an umbrella genre, you know, over the past 50, 60 years has morphed and changed, and there's different sub-styles and everything like that. I mean, are you just sort of strictly a roots reggae band, or are there other things that are...
We're adding like a blues roots, like a blues kind of in there. We have we're heavy on the saxophone. I really love the saxophone sound, so we're bringing that in. That's one of our feature instruments would be the saxophone. Doing lots of soloing and stuff like that, so lots of neat rhythms you can come up with.
For sure.
We've done that, yeah.
You mentioned you played the Soca Reggae Fest and all these things sort of pre-pandemic, and now shows are obviously back, and that's great, and there's a lot going on. What was your sort of, as a band, what was your introduction to the local reggae scene? Did you find it like an easy fit to go in and say, hey, we're this new band playing this style of music, or was it a little bit more difficult to sort of maybe make people take you seriously?
Well, they're very welcoming, the reggae scene here. They're very nice people. And yeah, we got into the Reggae Fest. We started dealing with them right away, and they opened arms, welcomed us in. And we had the Iroh festivals we were doing with Junior there. He's a native of Jamaica. So he's opened his arms, said, we love you guys. We're just, you know, we're trying to grow. We want to grow with you, and we'll welcome you in. So they did events for them, and we've done the Soca Reggae, and we've done other small stuff around, and it's all working out that way. Yeah,
that's good. This is what you want, right?
I appreciate the scene here. Yeah,
for sure. I mean, and like I said, you know, it seems like it is a very deep and involved scene. I mean, I've been going to reggae shows since the mid-90s when I was a teenager, but it's not the most prominent genre in Winnipeg. I mean, outside of the kind of the community and people who seek it out, right? So you mentioned earlier that you want to sort of change that a bit and maybe bring some of that classic rock sort of background you have and get those people interested in reggae music. So how do you do that? How do you sort of introduce it or reintroduce it to a Winnipeg audience that is very much, I mean, it's a classic rock town, it's a punk town, it's a folk bluegrass blues town,
country, yeah.
But so where do you how do you get reggae sort of to where it should be, I guess, in people's minds?
Great question.
There may not be an answer.
Playing and getting my friends out, and then just turning them on, and they get to turn on their friends for the music, and it's just word of mouth, basically. You know, it's just getting them into the music that's coming out of this California and the States. There's great music coming out of there. Last year, the Grammy winners was a reggae band called Soja.
That's right, yeah. And that was controversial. Yeah, a lot of people were pissed off about that.
Yeah, exactly. So, but it's a big, big thing out there, you know. So the crowds are changing, the people are changing, are loving it. So it's just, it's the world renowned music that's just out there. And it's the heartbeat of the music. Yeah. Makes it go, you feel, yeah.
do you feel that there's anything in Winnipeg that sort of ties all the local artists together? And maybe not necessarily as strongly as that California thing does, where there's a specific sound, but is there a Winnipeg reggae sound? And if so, what is it? And if not, like, should there be one?
I'm not sure if there's a Winnipeg reggae sound. I know the bands here are trying to be very authentic to the Jamaican sound and just keep it very tight. The dance hall is taking over big time.
For sure.
It's trying to, you know, kind of compete with the dance hall, because that's very popular. But we are a 7-piece band, so it's hard to get out and do these big gigs. But we're putting on an event soon here. So we're just getting more friends out to turn people on to the music. Not sure what the sound is. Reggae just has that sound. I guess the Dub City sound would be what my influences are kind of coming out of me when I was young. It's just the classic rock sound, right? The CCR and the Guess Who. I was singing along in the Chevy van going to dirt bike races when I was a young kid in the 80s. So that just got my ball rolling into music.
What was your introduction to reggae personally?
Just listening to music back in the early 80s when I was getting turned on to music, is doing that, like the classic rock, Bob Marley, definitely, right? You know, everyone knows Bob Marley. So that got me going and interested, and I started going to the festivals.
Yeah.
They had in Winnipeg Square up down by Waterfront there, and they kind of changed and moved around. But to have been to that, couldn't catch any major shows that came through, but I did, get a show in front of Luciano last year.
Yeah.
So that was pretty awesome. I didn't get to meet him a little well.
I've actually interviewed him twice, two times come here. The best guy. The second time we sat at a coffee shop for like an hour and he just drank coffee and talked to him. He was awesome. It was like the nicest guy ever, which is cool because I've been listening to him for years, right? So it was very, very cool to sort of sit down with him and realize he's just like this totally normal dude. It was great.
Yeah, he's a very nice guy.
Yeah, so that's sort of a thing that Winnipeg does have going forward, is that people will come in, artists of that stature like Luciano will come in and they'll need local musicians to back them up, right? Like, you know, in the early 2000s, I was one of the organizers of the Winnipeg Ska and Reggae Festival, and we had Mikey Dread come in, and we had Billy Williams come in, and Sugar Minot, and in every case it was local guys sort of formed a band, right beforehand, learned all the rhythms, and then they came and sang on it. So, I mean, is that something that you guys would like to do, is sort of back up some people who are maybe more established?
Oh, we should, yeah. I would love to do that. Yeah, that would be a great idea. Last year when Luciano came, he came with his own band. So
that's a bit different, yeah. But the first time he came, I think it was all local people who backed him.
Mm-hmm. But there is definitely other great reggae musicians in town, so they kind of, there's lots of guys who have played with Luciano, a few guys I know, and so I guess they would get the dibs to go play with him first, but who knows how that works. So I'm just getting the things rolling, get my ball rolling, get the people noticing the band, and hopefully that will come down the road.
Well, and you have an advantage, I guess, of being a self-contained unit, right? I mean, like, all these other people are just individual players getting together, and you guys, you know, the longer you're around, the tighter it'll get, and the more sort of
exactly
you'll be maybe useful as a band that's already formed, right?
Yes. So I think, and we have lots of players, percussion, we got keyboards, saxophone, like I said, and guitar. And so we got pretty much everything, we can use to do that for them.
That would be cool. Yeah. Well, so the timing on this interview is that you have a show coming up, and I'm going to talk about that in a second. But what is the sort of situation with the band right now as far as recording music? I know you said you started off playing covers. Now you've got more original music happening. Do you have plans in the works for putting out any music?
Definitely. Yeah, we started up the website for that purpose too, so to kind of get the music out that way. Also, to sell some tickets for the upcoming event. So I've been writing songs for a few years now. We're just kind of compiling them together, getting it ready to record. We got probably two at least we can do real quickly here after this event. We're gonna get onto recording that, and this summer we'll have a couple songs out there to get people into that.
Cool.
Oh,
And the event is the Valentine's Day show, right? I mean, this will come out, you know, a few days before that. What can you tell me about the show? It looks like it's got a lot of people involved.
Yeah, well, it's called up some friends. I got the Rock Calypso band coming down. Glenn Worth is going to come do his phenomenal performance that he does all the time. And we're going to get Robert Andreas. He's a blues player and singer from Italy. He does some reggae also. So I'm sure you know of him. So he's coming down. He's going to come up and play some songs with us too. And so, yeah, it's going to be a great night. And then Dub City's going to play at the end of the night.
Is it all, I mean, because of the Valentine's Day thing, is it all sort of love themed? Do you do a bunch of Love is Rock or something? Or what's
our band kind of, we learned a bunch of songs. That's be like a Lover's Rock a set list. Yeah, so we got some cool stuff coming. It's like a mixture of reggae songs and some classic rock songs. You know, we kind of reggae-fied and...
There's a long tradition of that, though, right? There's like a going back to, you know, even the 50s and 60s with the ska stuff, like taking existing songs and converting them into this rhythm and this style. It's a thing for sure.
It is, yeah. It's like you mentioned Sugar Minot, so we'll be doing a Sugar Minot song at the we're doing some Bob Marley. You do a few songs from him. It's gonna be a fun night. So we're really happy. It's the first time I put this on, so it's looking forward to it. It's going to be a great time over at Excuse.
Okay, I was about to ask where it's happening. Yeah, cool, mm-hmm. Do you think that, just speaking of Bob Marley, do you think that, obviously he is always popular, deservedly so, always will be popular, but did you see a boost at all in interest in reggae when that movie came out last year? Because it seemed I think it won a Grammy too, the soundtrack, right?
They just won it, yeah. I saw that today. They won the Grammy for that album today, and they're still going hard, so... everybody knows the Marleys.
Yeah, for sure. But do you think that gave the genre a lift at all? Maybe, I mean, not necessarily in Winnipeg,
I think it did. It kind of opened some people's eyes. Movie's just a brief time in Bob's life there, around the time when he's writing the albums and that. So I think it did. Yeah, and get some other people who quite didn't know. They knew the name, but they don't know really who he was or what he... You know.
Or they knew some of the songs and didn't even realize who the songs were by. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So what's the best way to find out more about you guys? I mean, I know that, like you said, you got new music coming out sort of in the future, but you're playing shows now. You're sort of out and about. What's the best way to find out more about what's happening with Dub City?
Well, head us on the socials, I guess, Instagram and Facebook. We're Dub City Foundation. We also have our website up and running now where you can actually buy merchandise and cool stuff like that. So that's dubcityfoundation.com.
Cool. I see you're wearing some of your own merch, which I always approve of.
So
I love seeing bands wear their own merch. I think it doesn't happen enough. I mean, you got it, you might as well wear it. Promote yourself. Self-promotion.
Yeah, I was thinking about that earlier, like what's in my closet, and I was like, I got a Rush shirt, you know, I got some Zappa, I got, you know, Maiden, I got, you know, like Marley's and stuff like that. So I figured, let's promote the band tonight.
Right on. Do you have anything sort of coming up in the near future after this Valentine's Day show? I mean, obviously, all of your energies are sort of focused on this one.
We were just going to start booking gigs right away here, get in an agency and hopefully be in some casinos. We're usually playing Soca Reggae Fest every year. We'll also be at Lilac Resort around Canada Day, which is also International Reggae Day. So
that's right, yeah.
Check us out, Lilac Resort, definitely over there every year. So it's going to be lots of fun.
Do you think, I often ask bands on the show sort of where they think they fit within the local music scene. Obviously, because you're playing, you know, more of a niche genre for Winnipeg, there's a scene there that's sort of established. But do you have sort of ideas of where you want this band to go within the city? I mean, you named a few venues just now, but there's also always that kind of connection to the rock scene as well, right?
Yeah. I just like to play anywhere I can. We're just going to get the name out and play where we can. Do some festivals out of province too. Like, we want to get some of our songs out. I really believe they're very strong songs. So I think they could do very well and, just get the word out, get the songs out and do some local shows around, head out, maybe out to Vancouver, BC. There's lots of cool reggae fests there. And
yeah, they have the big one, right? So,
sure. So I'd love to go play there. And it's just all like stagger steps of getting up to where you want to be, right? I remember years and years ago when I'm at the festivals, I'm like, I'd really love to play here one day, you know, super awesome. And here I am playing here now. So it's making those steps, you know, start recording music. So do that. And then the next step, we'll get up and start touring. And
yeah, yeah.
Nothing big, but, you know, get out and do stuff. And,
well, yeah. Touring with even playing shows with a seven-piece band is tricky enough. I mean, touring with
all those people.
Yeah. Right. Is this band sort of malleable in terms of, like, can you play a smaller version of the group, or is it always sort of all seven of you? Is it possible to strip it down?
Yeah, we could trim her down if needed. Yeah, just kind of adjust the set here and there. I also want to do some duo stuff with a friend or two, maybe do some small coffee shops and do that kind of thing too.
So, yeah, that's kind of why I was wondering. I mean, you know, you mm-hmm. mentioned Rockalypso a few minutes ago, and that band has had so many different permutations. I mean, you know, there's the one guy who's been in it forever, but then they've had, I've seen them like with a full band. I saw them over Christmas at Polo Park, and it was him and a sax player, and, you know, it was like two people, right? Yeah. So it's, I think it's easy to think of reggae as being something that requires sort of a big group of people because of horns and because of keyboards and all this stuff. But it, for some reason it works in a stripped down fashion too.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. So I play a lot of acoustic here at home just by myself. And I got a percussionist I do jamming with. So we get on that and we'll head out and do some coffee shops and do smaller stuff like that. And definitely, yeah, we can strip her down.
Cool.
Do a small thing and start getting the songs out there too. That way, I guess, too, would be a good idea.
Is the songwriting process with this group, are these all your songs that you're sort of bringing to the other members, or is there collaboration?
Pretty much. Yeah. Just kind of sitting jamming when I jam, and just pops in my head. I get an idea and I'll write it down and I'll bring it to the band and, hey, what do you guys think of this? And boom, 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 and just keep on. Yeah. That's pretty much how that works with us.
Is, you know, as someone with a classic rock background, like you mentioned, is it using a different part of your brain? Like, when you write a song, how do you determine sort of if it's going to be a reggae song or it's going to be a rock song? I mean, is there an obvious moment when you're writing it that, okay, this will definitely go with this band or not?
Well, you kind of can morph it and change it. And but lots of songs, they start out like a rockish way and you can just kind of adjust the beat and then into, whoa, that sounds really wild. The reggae-fied there too. So it works either way too. So
sure.
I found that out parting around this hat at home here. Yeah,
right on.
Yeah.
Do you want to plug the show one more time, the show happening on Valentine's Day?
Oh yes, well it's a Lovers Rock evening at Excuses Cafe on Sargent. It's on Friday, February 14th, obviously, And it would be three bands, and it'd be lots of fun. So come on out, bring your deer. Yeah, we're starting at 7 o'clock. Show starts at 8. So yeah, I think that's a great time. Great food and drinks there. So yeah.
Cool. How do you, Valentine's Day is such a, I mean, it's the, what Valentine's Day is a whole other conversation, but I mean, it's a very popular night, obviously, to go out, right? People are generally going out on Valentine's Day if they're a couple or whatever. Do you, what's the, sell me on this show? I mean, if I was someone trying to find someone to do for Valentine's Day, why should I choose your gig?
Must be a very nice romantic night, beautiful saxophone music. You could go have your dinner and come on down to the show, and it's going on till about midnight or so. So it's not too late of a night, and you can always find that romantic time with your dearest there afterwards. So yeah, it'd be a great night of music. So come on down to check us out.